Today's Shir is Masechet Amayit Katan Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph at the top line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We had learned yesterday in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda taught us that one may capture animals or insects that are causing damage to the field, b'stei ilon, if a field that has trees, tree field, kedarkoi, in the normal fashion, b'stei alovin, and to catch such animals on a field, from a field that grows tvua, may only be done shloi kedarkoi. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, ketz kedarkoi, what does it mean when we say it may be done in the normal fashion? Choyfer guma, he could dig a hole, v'toyle b'metzuda, and put into the hole a net that the animal will get caught. Ketz shloi kedarkoi, continues the Gemara, what is the definition of shloi kedarkoi? Noit shvud, he takes a pole, umaka bekardim, and he knocks with a hammer, umrada adam b'tachteo, and it causes the earth under where he's trying to get these insects to leave from to shake, and that's what shakes them out. Tanya, Omer Tanya, says the Gemara, Omer Rishimim Elazar Omer, Kshamru Mestei Lovin Shloi Kedarko, Loi Omer El Mestei Lovin Smuch El Ir. Only by Mestei Lovin, which is near the city. Av Mestei Lovin Smuch Stei Ilon, if you have a field that's growing tvua next to a field which is growing trees, a field Kedarkoi. There, even Kedarkoi is permissible. For we need to be concerned, Shem Yetzu Mestei Lovin, maybe these insects will begin to spread and go from the Stei Lovin into the Stei Ilon, V'yachriva Silonis, and they'll cause the Stei Lovin, the Stei Ilonis, to get ruined. So Tosfos gives a number of pshatim, how to understand what Rav Shimon ben Elazar meant with this halacha. One pshat that he says is that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is representing a new opinion. The Tanakam of our Mishnah said that we're allowed to get rid of the ishus, and he said that that's the halacha, whether it's a stay alovin or stay ilon. Rav Yehuda held that from a stay alovin we have to go shloi kedarkoi, and Rav Shimon is differentiating between a stay alovin that's close to the city versus a stay alovin which is not close to the city. Another pshat is that Rav Shimon Elazar is not really coming to suggest a new opinion, but rather Rav Shimon Elazar is coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama. That the Tanakhama said that in a stay alovin you could capture them kedarkon. That, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, is that's only if the stay alovin is near the city, near the trees. But if it's not near the trees, he'll agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Another pshat is as follows. That the stay alovin that's near a stay ilon, then you could capture them kedarkoi. And when it's near a city, there is no machloikis. And everybody will agree that since it's near the city, we have a right to do whatever we have to do because we don't want them entering the city. We learned further in the Mishnah, Umakrin as a piritza b'mayid. We could fix a broken wall as if there was a wall and it was broken. It could be around the field. It could be broken on cholamayid. It could be fixed on cholamayid. So the Gemara explains what does that mean. Ketz and Makrin, exactly what may be done. Rav Yosef Omer, Behutza V'dafna. We're allowed to take different types of wood and make a new fence. Masnis and Tana, Tzar B'Tzror, we could put stones one on top of the other. However, V'enetoch B'tit, we're not allowed to put cement between these bricks. In other words, the Rishonim explained, Rav Yosef did not know exactly what does it mean. And now he's coming to say that Rabbi Yossi is coming to teach us exactly what does the Mishnah mean with Ketzer Makrim. Amar Rav Chisda, Lo Shana El Bishchayos Al Gina. Where is this halacha applicable, that we may not make a full-fledged correction to that wall. If it's a wall around a garden, and therefore, if there's a wall around the garden, and people did not typically put their belongings around the garden, therefore, there is no right to make a very strong wall. Aval, because of a chatzar, when we're speaking about a chatzar around a chatzar, and as the Rishonim explain, then those times, the chatzar was in front of the house. And people did not have very large homes. And people did not have, since people did not have very large homes, much of the activity that took place in the chatzar. And not only much of the activity took place in front of the chatzar, they used to keep a lot of their belongings out of the chatzar. And not only that, as sort of Rishonim explained, the way people entered their homes was by walking through the chatzar. And since people entered their homes by walking through the chatzar, if you leave the chatzar exposed, you need to be concerned that people are going to, that your house remains vulnerable. And because of those reasons, the wall around the chatzar is allowed to be fixed and made in a normal fashion. Furthermore, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that even though we're being lenient in allowing the wall to be built in a normal fashion when it's around the chatzar, of course, that's only if there was a wall there previously. But if there was never a wall there previously, and now you're coming to put up a wall for the first time, that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Furthermore, I saw that the Mordechai says that this is only if this wall was next to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because as we just explained, when it's next to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there's a legitimate concern if that wall is breached. But if it's not next to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so there's less of a concern of who's going to intrude by that wall being broken, and therefore we cannot be lenient. Lema Masailei, says the Gemara. The Gemara wants to bring a raya for the opinion of Rav Chisda, because it says, "Koisel hagoich l'shus rabim." If there's a wall that's bending down, that looks like it's about to collapse into the shus rabim, soisu b'ana kedarkoi. We're allowed to demolish it and build it as normal. Because we're dealing here with a situation of a sakana, and here the Yerushalmi says, it doesn't have to be that it's bending down into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. As long as it's bending down to situation to a place where people could get hurt. So our Gemara just taught us that whenever there's a concern of sakana, whenever there's a concern of sakana, we may do whatever we need to do, not to avoid a sakana. So we see that when there's a good reason, we're allowed to do whatever we have to do. So similarly, where Rav Chisda is going to say that building the wall, rebuilding the wall that enters into the chatzar, there's a legitimate reason why to be lenient, and we're allowed to be lenient, says the Gemara Hassam. The comparison is not really correct. Hassam, the reason we're allowed to do it is k'dvarei tama, as the Brisa itself said, we're dealing with a situation of sakana. When we're dealing with a situation of sakana, that's why we have a right to be lenient. But when we're not dealing with a situation of sakana, we have no right to be lenient. And in fact, the Ritva asks the question, isn't the difference between the wall of a chatzar and the wall of a wall where there's danger involved so obvious? What was the Gemara's Havamina? So the Ritva says that the Havamina was that when the Brisa said Mnei Sakana, wasn't giving a reason that Sakana is the reason why you're allowed to do what you have to do. Rather, what the Gemara assumed was that Mnei Sakana is that whenever there's a reason to be lenient, you could be lenient. Mm-hmm. And if there's a Sakana, that's a good reason to be lenient. But then the Gemara said that sakana doesn't mean that whatever there's a reason to be lenient, we have a right to be lenient. It means in this situation, because it's sakana, we're being lenient. In any other situation, we would not be lenient. Vika Damri, but there's a different version to this discussion. Tashma. We're allowed to rebuild it in a normal fashion. But what do we see from here? Midnei sakana. Only midnei sakana in. Only when it's a situation of sakana do we have a right to rebuild in a normal fashion. Doesn't that seem to indicate shloim midnei sakana? Just because it's the wall of the chatzur, loy, we would not have a right to rebuild the wall. So the wall, says the Gemara, wouldn't that be leimetav tiyufta Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda allows us even to rebuild the wall when it's not a situation of a sakana, just because it's a chatzur. Amar Rav Chisda responds, Rav Chisda, hasam soyser, a chalamoid we're demolishing the wall. And if we actively demolish the wall, we have no right to rebuild it unless we have no right to rebuild it only because of sakana. Hocha, in the case that I'm discussing, says Rav Chisda, it's not like he's demolishing the wall on Chol Hamoed. He's just rebuilding the wall. And since all he's doing is just rebuilding the wall, and it's a situation of hefsid, that's why we're makel. Says the Gemara, Hasam Nami, so by the case of the Brisa, where there's a wall that's about to collapse, Lister V'loi Livni, ask the Gemara, we should only allow it should be demolished. In other words, the existence of this wall is causing danger because Chas V'Shalom, it may collapse on someone. But ask the Gemara, so of course, that should be a raya. That should be a reason that we should be allowed to demolish it. But why is that a reason that we're also allowed to rebuild it? Says the Gemara, Imkein Mimna V'loi Soyser. If we're not going to allow the person to demolish the wall and rebuild the wall, then nobody's ever going to demolish the wall, and we could have a situation of sakana. And because we could have a situation of sakana, that's why we're being more lenient. Amar Vashi, Masnisa Namideka. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah, says Rav Ashi, that the Mishnah seems to support Rav Chisda's interpretation. The Tani, the Mishnah taught us b'shvius b'ayin kadarkai. In the Shemitah year, we can rebuild the wall in a normal fashion. Now, ask the Gemara Dehecha, what is the wall that's being discussed in our Mishnah about Shemitah? Ilayim the Chatzur, if it's a wall around the Chatzur, tzrich l'meimer, there's nothing growing in the Chatzur. The issue in the Shemitah year, as we continue to learn, is that we have to be careful that nothing should be planted and grown during the Shemitah year. But in the Chatzur, it's not a place for growing. El Alav, what must be the case? The Gina. Shavagav, the Machzik commander of the Terusa Lepiri, that looks when you rebuild this wall or repair the wall, you're doing it on the behalf of the vegetables or whatever grows in the garden. Shmamina, from here we see that we don't have to worry about that. But what do we see from here? That our Mishnah that made all the conditions was only talking about a Gina. But by a Chatzur, it would be completely mutter. So Ramosha, in the Shas Tshuva Igros Moshe, Evan Ezer, Chelek Aleph, Simon Samach Gemel, says, of course we're not speaking in our Gemara, when the Gemara was speaking about the wall that's going to collapse, and it may be a Sakana, it's not situation where the sakana nefashis, where the wall is about to collapse imminently and of course could cause serious danger. Because for sakana nefashis, we know we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos and Yontif. And if there was such a situation, one would be allowed to demolish the wall even on Shabbos, not only on Chol Hamoed. The issue here is where there's a potential sakana. And Ramosh explains, first he wants to say, that why are we lenient? Because when we learned the Masechta Beya, Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara introduced a very important concept. And that is, the Gemara says, in a number of places, Chazal taught us, Hitiru Soifa Mishum Tchilosim. Chazal said that we allow you to do something because if we won't allow you to do it, then we're concerned what will be the repercussions. So the question is, if And particularly Reb Moshe makes this point. If we go back to what we discussed as we began our Masechta, when we began our Masechta, we learned that doing Melacha and Chol HaMoed is an Issa D'Oraisa, that only Chazal, under given circumstances, had the right and used that right to be lenient. So I could understand, says Reb Moshe, that we allow the demolition of the wall. But why would he allow the rebuilding of the wall? So Reb Moshe says a chiddush. Reb Moshe says that if we're not going to allow the person to rebuild the wall, what's going to happen is he's not going to demolish the wall. So it turns out that the demolishing the wall and the rebuilding of the wall are not to be looked, says Reb Moshe, as two separate activities. And therefore, one could ask the question, we'll allow to demolish the wall, but why are we going to allow the rebuilding the wall? Rather, says Reb Moshe, they're connected. And since they're connected, if we allow the demolishing the wall and the rebuilding the wall go very much together. In order to understand the next Mishnah, the next Sugya, we need to say a word of introduction regarding the Parsha of Tzaras. If somebody sees on his body a mark, a negaloven, a white discoloration, he has to show it to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to make a determination if he's Tamei or Tahor. Because as a very important part of our shir is going to be, the only one that can make that determination is a Kohen. If the Kohen says that the Kohen sees that this person is definitely Tamei, he's definitely a Metzora, the Halach is he becomes a Metzora Mukhlet. If the Kohen is able to see that there's absolutely, Baruch Hashem, no problem, so he's Tahor. If the Kohen sees that it does have, there is an issue here, but he cannot definitively say that he's Tamei, the Kohen has to quarantine this person, and he has to remain in his home for 7 days. This individual is a Metzora Muzgar, a quarantined Metzora. After a week of quarantine, the Kohen comes to re-examine this individual. If whatever was there got weakened and nothing new developed, then he's Tahor. If, on the other hand, he developed full-fledged Nega, or what he had grew, expanded, then he becomes a Metzora Mukhlet. If what was there remained the same, so he is quarantined for another week. After the second week, the Kohen again comes to examine. If nothing new happened, he becomes Tahor. If it spread, or now there's a Simen Tumah, the Halach is he becomes a Metzora Mukhlet. The Metzora Mukhlet, that when he becomes Tahor, the Torah gives a very detailed explanation of what is the Tahara process. The Halach is that he now may go back into the Machne Yisrael, and on the seventh day, he shaves all the hair on his body, he goes to the mikveh, he and all of his clothing, and he's toivel himself. And on the eighth day, he brings a whole series of kabbonas, and with that, he becomes Tahor. The Metzora Mukhlet, that's a very important part of today's shir, the Metzora Mukhlet is sent out of all three machnas. He has to go out of the wall around the city, but he's allowed to have Tashma Shemita with his wife during the time there's a Metzora Mukhlet. While he comes back to the city, as his Tara process commences, he could come back to the city, but during that time, he's not allowed to have relations with his wife. The Metzora Musker, on the other hand, the quarantine Metzora, is never sent out of the city, but the Metzora Mukhlet, while he's in the city, is not allowed to have relations with his wife. The Metzora Mukhlet has another halacha, that he's mechuyev to have priya or frima. Priya means that we're going to learn. Either it means that he has to cut, shave all his hair, or it means that he has to let his hair grow. And primus begodov means that he has to tear his clothing. Begins the Mishnah. Ramei Omer, Roim Negoyim Lahakal. We're allowed to look at Negoyim Mechalamoid if the purpose of looking at it is to make him Tahar of Aloy Lahachmer. But we're not allowed to look at them if the purpose is that if the result is that he's going to be Tomei. And the basic principle behind Ramei's opinion is that a person does not become a Metzaira unless the Kohen declares him to be a Metzaira. And therefore, if the Kohen doesn't say anything, he's going to be Tahor. So the Kohen can look. And if he has good news, fantastic. And if he doesn't have good news, he won't say anything. And Chamaimim, but the Chamaimim disagree. And they say, Loi Lahakav Loi Lahakar. Once the Kohen, according to the Chamaimim, say what the situation is, they are obligated to say what they saw. They are obligated to paskin and tell them, Kohen, tell this person what is his status. And since they have to say what his status is, they may have bad news. And therefore, the best thing is not to look altogether. And the Gemara, of course, elaborates on this machlokes. Begins the Gemara, Tanya Ramei Omer, Roinus Negoyim Lahakul of Loy Lahachma. Ramei says we could only give good news, but not bad news. Rabbi Yos Omer, Loy Lahakul of Loy Lahachma. You're not allowed to look at all together. Why? Explains Rabbi Yossi. Shim atin niskak loy. If you start making an examination, lahakol. If you're going to give the lenient psak, then af niskak loy af lahachmer. Then you also have to issue the chumadig psak, which of course we don't want to do in cholamite. Amar Rebbe. So the Gemara explains. Amar Rebbe explains Rebbe. Nir and divrei meyer b'muzgor. Somebody who was a Mitzayra Musker, that the week ended during Chol HaMoed, and now, as we explained in our introductory remarks, the Kohen has to decide, is he Tahor, or does he become a Mitzor Mukhlet? So says Rebbe, that once the Kohen looks at the Nega, he has to say what he has to say. Now, the halacha is, it says Rebbe, this individual will not have any distress with anything the Kohen is going to say. If the Kohen is going to say that he's tar, fantastic. Even if the Kohen is going to say that you are now going to become from a Mitzayra Muzgar, a Mitzayra Mukhlet, because your Tzorah spread, now you're definitely a Mitzayra, he's not going to be so upset. Because until now, he was usur to have relations with his wife. Because we said a Mitzayra Musgar is not allowed to have relations with his wife. By now making him into a Mitzayra Mukhlet, he could have relations with his wife. Since we're accomplishing that he could have relations with his wife, that is something that the person is happy with, and therefore we can look at it on Chol HaMoed. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi, the other hand, says Rebbe, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that we're not allowed to look at him altogether is a Mitzayra Mukhlet, by a Mukhlet, by a Mekayim Mukhlet. Yeah, indeed, that the Mitzayim Mukhlet, the Kohen's coming to examine. Let's look at what's going to go on here. He says like this, because if he's going to be decided, if the Kohen is going to decide that he's still Tamei, he won't lose anything. Because he was already a Mitzayim Mukhlet, he's nothing to lose. What is going to be happen, that the Kohen is going to say that you're Tahor. And by being Tahor, you're going to be allowed, you start the Tahara process. And as we explained, part of the Tahara process is that although until now you were allowed to have relations with your wife, now you may no longer have relations with your wife. And a person prefers to have relations with his wife, even though now he could go back to the Machna and come into have contact with other people. So there's no, the halacha is that he'd rather be with his wife than with other people. And therefore, the halacha is that we can't look at him. Amar Rava, so says Rava, so where is the machlokes of Ramei Rabbi Yossi? Says the Gemara, the machlokes of Batar, if the person was Tahor everybody will agree that he may not be examined. Both remain Rabbi Yossi. Because if now he's tar, and by looking at him, all that we could do is say that he may be tamei. So, and even a mayor who holds that we don't, the kohen doesn't have to issue a psak, but let's think about it. This individual, by hearing the kohen say, no, I'm not going to say, knows that's not a good sign. Be'ez Gerishin, if after he was quarantined for a week, L'kula Amma, everybody will agree, the Chazilei. Both Ramei and Rabbi Yossi will agree that we're allowed to examine him. Because if we're going to find that he's tar, if the Kohen's going to find that he's tar, fantastic. And even if the Kohen will say that he needs to be quarantined for another week, it doesn't make a difference. Because he's already quarantined. Ki pligi baz gesheni. When the second week of quarantine ends on Chol HaMoed. Now, the Kohen has to make a final decision. Is he tar or tamei? Mar, Rameya holds, the Kohen talia milsa. It's up to the Kohen. When he says what he says, that's what makes him tar. E tar, so if the person is tar, fantastic. Amalei tar, he'll tell him he's tar, and he'll be happy. E tamei, if he's tamei, shosik, he'll remain quiet. Mar, sovar, but Rabbi Yossi holds that the Kohen doesn't have that option. The Kohen has to say what he sees. The Kohen must issue a psak. And since he has to issue a psak, we can't say, well, don't say anything. He has to say everything. Of course, explains the Tosfos Rosh, that even though we're learning, the Ramei is saying that a Kohen doesn't have to say, that's only here where there's a reason, where the Kohen has a reason not to say. And therefore, don't say anything. But of course, the Ramei is going to agree that we have a situation where something, where the person approaches the Kohen has to issue a psak. Amar. So going back to what we just learned. Amar Rabbi Nirin Divir Rabbi Yossi ben Mukhlet, V'Divir Rabbi Meir ben Muzgar. I agree with Rabbi Yossi's opinion by Mitzar Mukhlet, as we explained, and I agree with Ramei's opinion by Mitzar Muzgar. Ask the Gemara, V'Tanya Ipcha. But we learned in a braisa just the opposite. Says the Gemara, Tanoi hi alib de Rebbe. It's a machloikis Tanoim, what Rebbe said. What is the machloikis Tanoim based on? Mar Savar, one man d'amer in explaining Rebbe's opinion that said, I agree with Ramei ben Mukhlet and I agree with Rabbi Yossi ben Muzgar, says there are two competing considerations. On one hand, there's a time, a mitzayim mukhlet, that is allowed to have relations with his wife, but he's not allowed to be in contact with anybody else. A mitzayim muzgur is just the opposite. He's not allowed to have relations with his wife, but he is allowed to be in contact with other people. And the discussion here in the Gemara, in understanding Rebbe, how he decides what he decides, is what does a person prefer? Does a person prefer the company of his wife, or does a person prefer the company of other people? The Tana that says Nirin Divrei Rabbi Meir b'Mukhlet v'Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Muzgar says Safsa d'Alma Adiflei. People prefer that the company of other people over the company of his wife, and therefore by a Mukhlet that we're going to look at his nega. If we're going to say he's still Tamei, we have nothing to lose because that's where he is. And if he's going to become Tor, so now he may not have relations with his wife anymore, but he could come to have contact with other people. And that's what Rebbe holds, according to this version, is preferable to an individual. On the other hand, he agrees with Rabbi Yossi by a Tamei Muzgar that we're not allowed to make the determination, because maybe the Kohen is going to say that you're not a Mitzayim Muzgar, you're Mitzayim Mukhlet. And if you're going to be Mitzayim Mukhlet, yes, you will be allowed to have relations with your wife, but you're not going to be allowed to have contact with other people. Since you're not going to be allowed to have contact with the other people, he's going to be upset that he loses that opportunity to have contact with other people. And Rabbi Yossi says, if you see something, you have to say something. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says, avoid saying anything. Or Masover, whereas the Tana that held Divrei Rabbi Yossi b'Mukhlet v'Divrei Ramei b'Muzgar holds Safsa d'Eshta Adifalei. A person prefers having relations with his wife versus having contact with everybody's, that everybody else's with everybody else. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi's opinion by a Mukhlit, that we don't look at his neg is understandable, because maybe the Kohen is going to decide that he's Tahor, and he's going to turn from being a Mitzrayim Mukhlit into the days that he starts to count. And as we learned, during the days that he counts, during those 7 days, he may not have relations with his wife. And even though now he could have contact with other people, he prefers having relations, according to this version, with his wife. On the other hand, according to this version, by Mitzayir Musgur, we look at his nega. Because even if the Kohen is going to say that he's Tamei, and by making him Tamei from being a Mitzayir Musgur into a Mitzayir Mukhlit, at least now he can have relations with his wife. And that's something that he prefers. So here we have a discussion. What does a person prefer? Does a person prefer relations with his wife? Or does a person prefer company of other people? Now, the question is that the old halachas of Mitzrayim Musgur, asked Aruch HaShulchan, only apply in a city that has a wall around it. Now, asked Aruch HaShulchan, how therefore do we have this discussion here? In the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, there were no cities that had walls. So how do we have this entire discussion? So it says the Aruch HaShulchan that even though the halacha abad jesha b'chutz l'machna only applies to cities that have a wall, that still, even if it doesn't have a wall, the Mitzorah has to separate from other people. So very bechidish, according to Aruch HaShulchan. That's why, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Kahanim don't do examination. This is in Darach HaShulchan HaOsid. Kohanim don't do examination Cholamoid in the different situations that we've been discussing, because the different concepts of company. So it's very interesting. He says the Haftarah of Parshas Metzorah, the Paiskim say, is the Parsha in Melachim of Arba Noshim Hayim Metzorahim. They were taken out of the city of Shomron. So the question is, that city did not have a wall. So if that city didn't have a wall, why were they taken outside of the city? According to Aruch HaShulchan, we can now have a very good shmak and pshat. Because Aruch HaShulchan says that even though we don't have to, the din of the Torah is only by a city with a wall, still it's appropriate to send them mechutz le'ir, and since it's appropriate to send them mechutz le'ir, that's why we understand that parsha navi. But then I saw the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says a different pshat. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz suggests that when we think of a mitzayra, there are two elements to a mitzayra. One element when we think about the mitzayra is that it's not a physical ailment, it's a ruchnistig ailment, with which the Torah gives various rules. But he says it's also a physical disease. And since it's a physical disease, there's a concern for quarantine when we have a physical disease. And since there's a physical disease here, and we don't want these people to be next to each other because they could cause the other people to get more sick, that's why we're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, L'meimra, the Mukhla Mutter B'tashra Shemitta. So what we're learning now is, and this is the basis for our discussion, we're learning now that a Mukhlet could have relations with his wife. Says the Gemara, in, absolutely. V'tanya, could the Braisa says, V'yosha b'chutz la'olah shivis yamim, that he should be outside of Allah Shivas Yamim. We learn from here, that's talking about a Mitzayra Mukhlet that is beginning the Tahara process, Sheyasa B'tashma Shemitah, that now he may not have relations with his wife. Because, says the Gemara, Ein Oloi El Ishtoi. Whenever the Pasuk uses the word Oloi, it refers to his wife. Shnemar, as Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, after Matan Torah, Lech Emolehem Shuvah Lehem La'olechem. Klai Yisrael before Matan Torah had to be separated for the Shlosh Shemei Egbala from the wives, as the pasuk says, "Hayu nechaynim l'shloishes yomim al tikshu el isha," And therefore, as we've learned many times, davish shabiminyan, tzarch minyan achla tiroi, once something was said, it's asur. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them that they may not have relations with their wives. They were not allowed to go back to their wives until he told them they may do so. And that's why it says here, shuvalam lalechem, which means having relations. Rabbi Yudaimer, the pasuk says regarding this individual, shivis yomim yisperu loy, yimei sfiroi. And the pasuk there says that he may not have relations with his wife. So we learn from this pasuk in Yecheskel, says Rabbi Yehuda, yimei sfiroi, during these days, after he was a Metzorah Musgur, he has to separate from his wife. However, no yimei chelutai, during the time that he was a Metzorah Muchlet, during that time, he was allowed to have relations with his wife. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, b'shivas yimei sfiroi, if during the time that he's already on the mend and he's becoming tar, he's allowed to have relation with his wife. So certainly he asks during the time that he's a cholut, which is a higher level of mitzayra, he shouldn't be mutter with his wife. Danti lefnei Rebbe, I asked Rebbe, Limitana Rabbanim, Rabbeinu, you taught us the Yosim, who was the son of Ziyah Melch Yehuda, his mother could not have conceived him, Elbame Chilutai, only during the time that it was a Mitzvah Mukhlet. Amalai, Afandi Kachamarti. I indeed hold that a Mitzvah Mukhlet is allowed to have relations with his wife. So here we see a fundamental question. If a Mitzvah Mukhlet is allowed to have relations with his wife or not. So just to review the story of Uzziah Melech Yehuda. Uzziah Melech Yehuda went into the Beis HaMikdash to do Ketores, which of course, as a Yisrael, was not allowed to do. And because of that, the Pasuk says he was a Metzorah for the rest of his life. And the Pasuk in Yeshaya says that as he became a Metzorah, the entire Beis HaMikdash trembled, it became full of smoke, and they wanted to destroy people, kill people, just like we find by Korach, who, when he brought Ketores that he wasn't allowed to bring, he was killed. And what happened was that he only became a Metzorah. And so we see that even though he became a Metzorah, his son, Yosem, was conceived during the period that he was a Metzorah. The question, so it's a raya, says the Gemara, that a Metzorah Mukhlet is allowed to have relations with his wife. So of course the question is, asked the Ritva, maybe he did the wrong thing. We see that he already did the wrong thing. We see that while he went in to do the Ketores, even though he was a Yisrael and he wasn't allowed to do the Ketores. So maybe we'll say the same, that he had relation with his wife, even though he wasn't allowed to have relations with his wife. So Ritva says that they would have never appointed a person to be the Melech of Yisrael if he was conceived in sin. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest, that the Pasuk in Melachim, in describing Zio, says, V'yasa Yosha be'enei Hashem, V'yinaga Hashem as Melech, V'yimitzoy adjoy Moisoy. So it seems that the only Aveira he really did was the Aveira of having relations was the Aveira of doing the Ketores. If he had relations when he wasn't supposed to have relations, then that would be another Aveira. Why is it mentioned? Says the Gemara, so we have a Machloikis, if a Metzorah Mukhlet is allowed to have relations or not. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Savar, the Torah clearly tells us that during the days when he is a Metzorah, during the days that he's counting after he was a Metzorah Mukhlet, he may not have relation with his wife. And certainly, that would be the halacha of a Koshkein b'mei chalutai. Or Masav, amai de goli goli, amai de loy goli loy goli. What the Torah says is osur, what the Torah says is not osur. So the Rishonim ask, how do we understand the opinion of Yehuda? B'chol ha-Torah kula, we use Kal V'Chaymer. Why over here don't we learn a Kal V'Chaymer? So I saw that, of course, any Kal V'Chaymer, we ask, we have a right to ask a question on. So one question that could be asked is that the Yimei Sfiroi in one hand have a chumrah over the Yimei Chalutai. The Yimei Sfiroi have a chumrah that they are at least seven, they have to be 7 days. The Yimei Chalutai don't have a minimum number. And therefore, the Yimei Chalutai have that leniency. Another Torah, Pshat, is that he holds, Tosfos says, that the Torah says, Shivas Yomim. That only during those Shivas Yomim that he's counting is the Asur B'Tashmi Shamita, not any other days. Lememra. So going back to the fundamental question of our Sugya, is everything depends on the Koyin. Lememra the Koyin Talia Milsa. Everything depends on the Koyin. And of course, explaining the Mishnah Lamelech, the Gemara's question is not, if the Gemara's discussion is not, is it depend on the Kohen? It's an explicit pasuk in the Torah that it depends on the Kohen. That's not what is the discussion here. Rather, the discussion here is how much power, as we learned and will now learn more in depth, does the Kohen have? In, says the Gemara, exactly, that's what we're discussing. V'tanya, the pasuk says, "Ubroim harois boy." What do we learn from this pasuk? Says the Braisa, Yesh Yom Shatarayba. There are days that you look. Yesh Yom Shatarayba. Mikan Amru. From here we see Chosin Shnayla by Nega. If a Chosin develops a Nega, Noisun Loi Shiv Shmei Mishtai. We give him during the Sheva Brachas not to examine him, not to cause him any pain, not to make him into Metzora during the Sheva Brachas. Loi, it's not just he. Let's say his home developed a nega. We don't look at it during the Sheva Brachas. L'chsusoi, and his clothing. V'chein b'regel. The same thing as Yom Tov. Sh'noisen loy shivas yimei regel. We give this Mitzvah the time during the Yom Tov that not to be examined. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yomei Enet Tzorach. Rabbi says we don't need this pasuk. Haruya Aymer, the pasuk says that v'tziva koyin afinus abayis b'tayrim yova koyin lirasas anega v'layitma kol shibabayis. What does the koyin do? Before he comes to make the examination, he tells them to take out all the kli cheres from the house. Why? Because if there's kli cheres in the home and it's declared to be a home of tzaras, then everything in it becomes tamei, and kli cheres, there is no way to be matar them. Shvirasan zutarasam. The only way we can be matar them is by breaking. So says Rabbi Imam Tina Ledvarishus, if we're allowed to wait for Dvarishus to save the Kli Cheres, certainly Dvar Mitzvah, if it's a time where somebody is celebrating the Shel Brachas or it's a Yom Tov, we could delay it. So we had a Machloikus Rabbi Yudin Ramei and Rabbi that we could manipulate, and the Kohen doesn't have to immediately make that decision. My Benayu, what is the practical nafkamina? Says the Gemara, Amar Baya, Mashma Starshimik Benayu. The machloikus between them is just how to learn the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the pasuk of Biyayim, and Rabbi learns it Upinus Abayas. But there is no practical nafkamina. Rav Amar, Dvarishusik Benayu. The machloikus is, even if it's Dvarishus, if we look at the opinion of Reb. If we look at the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda only spoke about situations where there was a mitzvah involved, Sheva Brachas, Yom Tov. But if it's not that situation, he would not allow the Kohen to delay making a decision. Whereas Rabbi said that under all circumstances, we learn it from the Kli Cheres, that under all circumstances, we're allowed to do what the Kohen's allowed to delay making the decision. So I saw that the Imri Amos asked, we were learning that the Chosin were allowed to delay looking at his Nagon. But asked the Imri Amos, a Chosin we know, we forgive him on all his Averis. So if we forgive him for all his Averis, so and Tsaras is a direct result of somebody doing an Avera. So the question is, why? How could there ever be a Chosin that is a Metzora? So one teretz that the Leif Simcha answered to his father, Demri Emes, is that sometimes getting Yisurim are Yisurim Shalahava. And Yisurim Shalahava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu even brings to a chosin. Another pshat, that the Rami Emes himself suggested. The Rami Emes said that just like we find on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Meichel Averis that are Ben Adam L'Makim. But Averis that are Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, Yom Kippur is not Mechaper. So said the Imri Emes, Tzaras doesn't come for Averis that are Ben Adam L'Makim. Tzaras comes for Averis that are Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. When we're dealing with Averis that are Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, there, said the Imri Emes, just like Yom Kippur is not Mechaper, just because you're a Chassan, it's also not Mechaper. And that's why he could become a Metzorah even when he's a Chassan, even when he's celebrating Sheva Brachas. From here we see, says the Pnei Yeshua, the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, is comparing Sheva Brachas to Yontif. And just like a Yontif, we know Yontif is Yontif Midaraisa. Suggest the Pnei Yeshua, from here we see that Sheva Brachas is considered a full-fledged Yontif. And this is a question that the Paiskim discuss. Ramosha I saw discusses it, Lahiris Nosson discusses it, the Ramosha Stenbruch discusses it. What is the halacha if somebody got married before the 3 weeks and now the Sheva Brachas are going into the Ready Wednesday time during these 3 weeks? And during the 3 weeks, we know that we're not allowed to play music, we're not allowed to celebrate. But now it's the Sheva Brachas still of this Chassan Kala. What are we allowed to do during the Sheva Brachas? So some Paiskim only allow dancing without music. And there's some Paiskim that want to say maybe even music should be permissible. Because we're learning in our Gemara how important Sheva Brachas are. The Sheva Brachas are considered like a Yontif Daraisa. And maybe we could be lenient. Another very important concept that emanates from this Gemara is how we're supposed to avoid bad news, especially bad news on Chol HaMoed. That's why the Paiskim, the Panim Iris, has a discussion that if Rachman Tzlan, somebody lost a close relative on Chol HaMoed, and they're not in the place where the close relative is. And since they're not there together with the close relative, they don't know that that relative passed away. Maybe, he says, we shouldn't notify that person, certainly not until after Yontif, because if not, he'll be keeping Avelis or some level of Avelis during Yontif, and then again begin after Yontif. And we're seeing in our Gemara how everybody agrees that the Kohen shouldn't necessarily tell a person he's a Metzorah on Yontif, because telling him a Metzorah on Yontif takes away from the Simchas Yontif something that we want to avoid.